Well, thank heaven Justin Bieber is actually there. Actually, Justin Bieber. Did I say Justin Bieber there? Oh, it's very straight. Yes,
Bieber there.
Never mind. Okay, the weather today. Highs of 3 degrees centigrade. Lows of 0 degrees centigrade. It's going to be cold with spells of rain, sleet and snow.
You're listening to Natalie Tuck on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Well, you are now, aren't we, Natalie? Yay!
Yay!
Tragically, this year, I didn't manage to get to the boat show after all of that sort of scenario. I know, it's still, never mind. I just felt it wouldn't be the same without Natalie and Claire, from that point of view, so I just thought, oh, yes, never mind. Moving on, Emma Tinson, obviously fashionably late.
So always.
Just see where we're sort of going with respect to that. Sue Rice sent in a lovely text saying she's you see, that was timing, wasn't it?
It was timing. Emma Tinson has entered the building.
Emma Tinson is in the house, exactly. Sort of, you know, Sue is currently on a train, and that train has, I believe, according to Sue's latest information here, and this could be of vital information, obviously, to you yourself, Natalie, because I know you're always fascinated by the Lincoln train services. The train's just pulled into Saxilby.
Fabulous.
Oh. Wonderful.
I know, exactly. So, Natalie Tuck, a whole brand new year. I was saying to Claire, it's nigh on 3.5, possibly nearly 4 years since you actually left Lincoln clutching your first-class honours journalism degree in hand.
Yeah, this September it will be 4 years.
Exactly.
That's crazy, isn't it?
3.5 years.
Kind of terrifying to the third year sitting in here.
and still she actually holds that mantle of being probably one of the best bake-off scenario for the
Yeah.
Nice. Held it though. No, in fact, so good we almost retired the contest. We considered sort of bringing it back again this year, but how can they set a standard from that point of view? So what have you been doing in the wonderful world of pensions, financial journalism and so on? Is it going to be a good bumper year, Natalie? Are you sort of gearing up for this whole side of things, or is it a case of, no, we might as well all say we're doomed?
I think we're doomed.
Right, fine. That's okay.
Cheery.
Yeah, no. especially, unfortunately, my generation. And, I wrote a story yesterday on the Work and Pension Select Committee. Has launched an inquiry into intergenerational fairness, because there's a big disparity between, say, what the baby boomer generation are going to get from the state and what we're going to get from the state. So we're doomed.
on the plus side of things, baby boomers actually have shown that it's never too late to exercise, and we'll be speaking to Derek Evans, also known as Mr. Motivator. Apparently most over 65s will actually complete 3 hours, 4 minutes of exercise per week.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. 18 to 24-year-olds. How much exercise a week do you do, Emma Tinson?
I mean, it depends what you class as exercise, I guess.
Thinking is such a difficult thing to do.
I live on top of a hill, which think walking up and down there every day counts.
Yep, precisely.
I do too, Emma. Yeah.
Well said, Natalie Tuck. Well said indeed. Apparently it's 2 hours, 53 minutes, the average amount of exercise that 18 to 24-year-olds
do. Oh, I definitely do that.
Yeah.
Do more than that.
I'd hope,
do a lot more than that. That's
but
apparently
walking doesn't count as exercise nowadays. But I count it as my exercise, because otherwise
I'm... I think it counts.
Yeah.
We'll find out with respect to Derek Evans, the former Mr. Motivator, of course, who used to dress, thank you, in nice, tight spandex costumes.
Oh, that's the way.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah, that's that colour that's in black and white. There's a photograph of Mr. Motivator there.
Oh,
great outfit.
Now living in Jamaica, after which he's also sort of set up his own festival called Paint Splat, which was actually Jamaica's first paintball operation.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, I raised it because obviously he's a pensioner, so you know, good point of view. Not really. Or is he 63 years of age? So I suppose it depends.
Not a pensioner.
Really?
But if he'd retired at 55, you know, back in the day where you could actually say, or you know, if he was a premiership footballer and kind of kicked it all in around about sort of 31, 32, you don't know. But anyway, we'll find out with respect to that. But it could be quite sparkling. Emma, thoughts and questions for Natalie? I'm thinking particularly given that, you know, probably later on today, or certainly tomorrow, you'll be talking to me about your dissertation. You know, I've got actually here. There we are. It's actually, that's the back of it there. your project proposal and the lines from that sort of movie, all marked, all sorted, so feedback on that. You know?
Natalie, what did you actually do for your dissertation? Because you said you got a first, which is amazing. Well done.
Yeah, well done.
So what topic did you do?
I did my dissertation on the Iraq War and propaganda in the press prior to the Iraq War.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. Really, really interesting, wasn't it, Alex?
It was outstanding. I mean, I still say, and I'll share the tale, because it was one of those momentary periods where I thought, actually, I had appendicitis at the time. First time Natalie came to see me, I was in sheer, I mean, I thought basically somebody had actually taken my intestines and actually was twisting them round in all sorts of ways. It's fun. And I'm sort of thinking, oh, right, just get through. Yeah, basically went through the sort of process, finished Natalie's tutorial in about sort of 3.5 minutes. She sort of went off,
that's
thinking, it's a disaster.
Was it 2 minutes?
Yeah, 2 minutes
probably.
And then she thought, it's terrible. You know, what's going to happen here? But we got you through in the end, did we not, Natalie?
Yes. But I was very worried after that first.
You should never have been worried. just.
And actually, because I'd just been handed over to you from another.
It was Richard Keeble, of course. Yeah,
Richard Keeble, the very man. And so, yes, and then I turned up, and it was a 2-minute-long meeting.
Exactly.
And I came out. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Actually, to be fair, sometimes you can get it, but yes, no, it was all fine, and we sorted it through.
I didn't go back for a few months.
I thought I was going to die. Actually, still, never mind. That's by the by. Fortunately, all was well with the world. It was obviously just a stomach upset. Still, life continues in its own way, and that was such a long time ago. And look what's happened now. You're still one of the ace midweek drivers. So celebrate and rejoice. Katie Grimison started a new job this week, so well done, Katie. Hopefully, you're sort of enjoying.
Oh, well done, Katie.
Exactly. She's a search engine optimizing with the finest of them, basically.
Search engine
optimization.
Exactly,
yeah.
Nice.
Way to go. So she's starting her way through that. I think I mentioned that we also had a name check from Tessa Snart, who, as I said, was also sending in her email to the Siren address, which you might think is perfectly logical, but it's one of the sort of addresses that we don't really access on this show. I'll leave it for various other folk to actually let us know who's been writing in at various other things from that point of view. It's a different line entirely. And 2 mentions for the Marge Harrison household, Claire?
Yes, my mum, Sally, and my auntie, Ella, both were liking the photos last night on Facebook. Ooh. And my mum's at work at the moment, but I'm sure she'll catch up on the podcast.
It's always important, right? Yes. It sort of helps in so many ways. And you would say that's exactly the same line with respect to the Tuck family. Would you like to give a little shout out to the mother and father, Natalie?
Can you remember my mother's name?
I knew you'd say that. I knew you'd say that. And instantly I'm sort of thinking it's not Carol, you know? Yeah, exactly. It's one of those mental blockages I actually
just
have.
Gone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, gosh, Jill. There we are, you see. So close to Carol. You know, Jill, Carol.
Practically
Carol,
the same
Jill.
World.
Exactly. Yeah. For a long time, I thought she was Scottish. So it's very strange. My life continues. Next 2 questions for Natalie, please, Claire.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have, as always.
Good.
I'm not sure actually whether she gave him any useful advice, really, in terms of assistance with the
well, other than that we're doomed, but, you know, we can be cheery about that, I think.
Yeah. Celebrate and rejoice. Exactly. That's the way forward.
Happy in poverty.
Very, very happy. Natalie, what musical choice would you like before we get that final question? Let's sort of open up a musical choice.
What are the options?
I'm not going to give you any options. Just give me a random artist and let's see if he or she or they happen to be in the system. What motivates you? What's your theme as you sort of go off to sort of be one of the premier pensions correspondents in the world today? You know, one of London's finest, even though you have to cope with a flatmate from New Zealand, so I'm sorry.
We like a good power ballad.
A good power ballad.
yeah.
Hmm, okay. Well, I mean, this, you know, now, I mean, are we talking 80s classics
Total
here?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Really? Oh, really?
Good choice.
That's what the pension team loves.
So you're looking for, obviously, Bonnie Tyler with respect to Total Eclipse of the Heart. I'll see whether that actually sort of comes
through. See if the computer's
got it. See if it's actually the answer. Yes, it's a definite yes. I mean, actually, it would be a case because you wouldn't dare naysay the Tuckster in any way.
Of course. We'd have to go find the CD.
Yes.
Which would be ironic because our CD player doesn't function.
Oh, no.
So it's a case of it ain't on the computer. It's not happening. It's the bottom line, really. Interestingly enough, of course, obviously, as an English graduate, you appreciate the misuse of the word ain't there.
Yes, of course.
Because I'll be giving feedback clearly to Claire about her science fiction essay as well, probably after the show today. Oh, it just helps in every sense. I mean, we could do it live on the show, that would be taking
ramping the pressure up.
That would be taking reality radio just a step too far. Yeah. You know, we'd then have to have the videos. We'd have to have Emma doing a documentary. We'd have to have the before and after. You'd have to have sort of
live reactions.
You'd have to have the discussion with Natalie for the motivation, and then she'd just say, "We're doomed. It doesn't matter." You know, just be very worried. It'd be a nightmare. Anyway, the final question is:
will you join us again soon, Natalie?
Yes, of course.
Yay!
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every little falling apart. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart. A total eclipse of the heart. A total eclipse of the heart.
Of course, there was a time when I would say, it's all about the rabbit. But Turn Around Bright Eyes, no, different line entirely. Jim Steinman produced it, of course, the connection with Meat Loaf being the same producer, a different singer, of course, because the meat or meatloaf is not Bonnie Tyler, although they're often confused, so I believe. Arthur McKenzie, welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm not too bad. Looking at the snow pouring outside.
Bit of snow in Newcastle, eh?
Oh, it's thick. Heavy.
Snow in the toon. There you go. Yeah, you see. Yes, Emma, you know, they do have snow in the northeast of England.
It's cold up there.
You Surrey gals, you don't appreciate it.
See, we don't see snow. Down in Surrey, we had snow, 10 years ago, and that was it.
We have a lot of snow in Harrogate because we're high up, and it means that school used to get cancelled, and it was always so exciting.
Yeah, and Sue Royce, welcome to the programme.
Good morning.
Snow from your good self?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Snow joke.
As a small child in the 80s, I used to get snowed in quite a bit. Yeah. The last time I was snowed in, I think it would be 5 years ago, woke up one morning, 3.5 foot of snow outside the door.
Arthur, have you ever in your travels, and I appreciate you've been to Hong Kong and all sorts of other wonderful places around the world, have you ever been to Skegness?
It's the way he says that.
Read Bill Bryson.
It is something which I feel I wanted to put that question to Arthur. I've waited for a long time and we've known each other for, you know, since the last century.
We should ask all our guests.
Have they been to Skegness? Yes.
Have you ever been to Skegness?
It's very bracing, particularly this time of year.
I once did a murder mystery in Skegness at about this time of the year, and you're quite right, actually. If we weren't indoors, it would have been very, very chilly indeed.
It's a bit parky. Yeah.
Never mind. Arthur, when about 40 minutes from now, we will be speaking to Derek Earl Evans, better known as Mr. Motivator. Yes, he's still alive. He's 63.
I'm very excited about this. I really am, because I remember him when he was on TVAM or GMTV or whatever it was. Fabulous.
Exactly, GMTV. Precisely. Known for his tight, colourful spandex outfits.
That's the one, yeah.
He just borrowed them from Arthur McKenzie. It's true. Ian's shown me the photographs, Arthur. I've seen the legendary Sahara. But we're talking about fitness, and apparently the average amount of exercise completed per week by the over 65s, and astoundingly, Arthur, I think, just fits that category. I know it's amazing, but I think he might be over 65. It's 3 hours, 4 minutes per week. Does that fit with your exercise routine, Arthur, or is it a case of, no, I just like to do roofing these days, roofing and writing?
Well, I don't know where they get that average from, but I would like to see how much exercise I do a week. I think it varies from day to day. Mm. I think it's more than that, though. I would think it's probably more than 20, 25 hours, I would think. Mm.
It's a study conducted on behalf of the company Centropulse, and we've also got Susan Smart, who's the managing director of Centropulse. Not related with a snart, of course. We see like smarts, snarts.
It's going to get confusing.
They're all over the place. The Tessa Snart, who, as we found out and identified yesterday, is in fact the sister of Captain Cold in The Flash.
Of course.
Anyway, moving on from that point of view, you might like to follow this one, Arthur, and pass some comments. A large number of over 65 stay active thanks to chores around the home, with nearly a quarter turning to gardening and 1 in 10 carrying out housework in an effort to stay fit.
Well, why not?
Yes. Vacuuming can be as vigorous as you wish, I suppose. Yeah.
However, and this is where we need to obviously sort of find out, you know, what are the barriers? Well, health concern. 29% have a concern about exercise because of their health. A fear of not being able to match their desired fitness levels comes in at 9%. And 8%, the lack of an exercise partner. Has that ever slowed you down, Arthur? I mean, obviously Irene's there.
Never.
No. Just because you haven't got an exercise partner shouldn't sort of stop you from getting exercise.
Why are the 65s being discriminated against? What about these kids who never do any exercise?
All right, Arthur. Let's...
Actually, I concur with you there, Arthur, because I've just started at a gym and you see a lot of people coming in and they're in groups and I'm coming on my own and I'm sort of a bit,
Yeah, but you are the Billy. Sue Royce. You know. Do they not know who you are?
No. Thank goodness. No, they don't.
You will have to say so. Make that quite clear to the whole sequence. But in the words of Arthur, let's get down and break it down for the kids. In terms of 18 to 24-year-olds, 2 hours 53 minutes is the average amount of exercise. 25 to 34-year-olds, 3 hours 2 minutes. 35 to 44-year-olds, it drops down to 2 hours 45 minutes. And then 44 to 55-year-olds, 2 hours 31 minutes.
Blimey, you'd think they'd be more active the younger that you get.
Yeah, that's really strange. I think I'm quite active. I do loads and loads of walking every day, and then I have done, they seem like a bit of a fad, but I've tried them and they are quite good, like these 30-day exercise routines, and I've done, the 30-day ab challenge and... all these different
and
things.
There's nothing on you. You're a slip of a
girl.
Yeah,
no. It's because I exercise.
True, yes.
Good.
It's quite sort of straightforward in every sense of the word. But Arthur, Sue is once again doing the Lincoln Half Marathon.
No, 10K.
Oh, 10K.
If I was going to do a half marathon, and I think I probably will do it in the next couple of years, there's only one half marathon I'm after, and that's got to be the Great North Run.
Of course.
Got to be the Great North Run.
Because, Arthur, her twin sister is up in Newcastle.
I did the first Great North Run, you know. I'll tell you what it is. It's quite an event.
It
really is. I mean, when you see it on television, of course, it's really spectacular, but it's when you're doing it, it's even better.
Mm. Yeah, I've always harboured a secret thing to run across the Tyne Bridge, I must say.
Have you never done that? I thought you'd had a heck of a nightclub time last time.
No. I generally, sort of holding other people up, walking across the Tyne Bridge.
Just a little saint, that's the important thing. It's interesting, because that's what Phil Linus, his challenge is to do the 10K. He didn't manage to do it last year, but we were talking about this yesterday, and I think that's why he's working on his breathing.
He's been doing his meditation
with his cat.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, looking at that classic athletic approach, Arthur, and you were UK discus champion, so you know, you're not just a top crime author, you know, focusing on the health and fitness scenario here. Did you used to get into the zone? Did you sort of visualise yourself winning? Is the mental battle just as important as the physical battle?
It's more important. a sort of application to sport in the late 1950s, early 1960s, when it wasn't really called a zone. It's just having a positive thought. But yes, visualization is very important. When I first started throwing the discus, and everybody thought I was stupid, what I used to do was I used to have little strips of paper stuck all over the place on the mirror and all the rest of it with a distance on that I wanted to do, and I used to just like drip that thought into my head, you know. And I was once told that it's like hanging a picture on a wall. If you try to hang a picture on the wall with a 6-inch nail and you try and slam the nail into the wall, you'll probably demolish the wall. But if you just get a small nail and just tap the nail into the wall, you'll be able to hang the picture and see the thing very clearly. So that's what I used to do. I used to tap in the distance that I wanted to do, or I visualised, and I used to see myself doing it. I also had a Kennedy coin. I was presented with this Kennedy coin by the Mormons when I was thrown against the Mormons.
Oh. Many people say the Mormons should actually be thrown themselves. Yeah, only kidding. Well, we love the Osmonds.
I ask it about a visualization of positive thought. But what I used to do when I used to compete abroad or whatever, I used to take this coin and I used to go to the stadium the day before, and I used to put this coin in the ground at a distance that I wanted to throw. And that was sort of me being part of that stadium and part of that situation, and more than often it worked.
So are you quite superstitious then, Arthur? Because there are some athletes that are quite, have their rituals, if you will.
Oh, yes, you've got to have your ritual. You've just got to make sure that everything's in its right place, you know.
And that's why every so often when Arthur McKenzie steps in like a superhero into the breach left by Richard Fitzwilliams, who's doing stuff for CNN, some other half-cocked multinational TV sort of stuff. I mean, I don't know.
Talked for the Americans.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I figured the best way forward is to celebrate with Arthur McKenzie, his little ident.
Jessica Ward and Emma Tinson. We could tell you their superhero aliases, but then they'd have to stop saving the world.
And as we know, Emma Tinson still is doing that. Jessica, since she became a dual citizen of New Zealand.
Maybe she's still writing.
Never mind. Arthur, we did have a promo for yourself, but it's been lost in the midst of cyberspace. We'll get another one made, don't worry. It'll be sorted. 6 goals in the Newcastle Manchester United game, and presumably you're quite happy with getting a point.
I couldn't care less, to be honest.
There you are, you see. If only Ian Lennox gave us a similar response, you know, but no, you can guarantee it, I'll use the same line with Ian, probably in the same intonation, and he'll talk for 10 minutes
go on
and on about the agonies of Ashley, the whole range of things. Arthur, of course, ace athlete, couldn't care less.
Quite so, I'm with you, Arthur, I'm with you.
It's like yin and yang of the whole sort of sequence. Really. It's brilliant.
For me, it's the wrong shaped ball, but there you go.
Well, as you said, and Arthur, allowing for the fact that it's been all change in the management of the English rugby team, do you think we can look forward to a successful Six Nations?
Well, I hope so, yes. I think there had to be a change. It was almost becoming like a dirge, the whole thing. And it would be good to get some flair in there and that we'll see what these new guys, these young kids can do, you know.
Exactly so. And although obviously Stuart Lancaster tried, he failed. So there we are. That's the end of the story.
Stuart Lancaster did a good job of pulling them from the brink, you know. But I think he's a school teacher, isn't he?
What's wrong with that?
Yes.
Exactly.
We'll be featuring a little feature just after Mr. Motivator about people who want to change careers and go into school teaching. So,
Nice. I wouldn't be there, I tell you.
No, that's because you're a detective chief inspector, and there's a different kind of policing, Arthur. And the other point, on a serious note, yes, we do occasionally have them on the midweek drive, even at 8:30 on a Thursday morning. Astounding, really. Well, take the 30 seconds to be ahead of 8:30. Just heard on the news, Arthur, that more and more police are being armed in London, all sorted up from that point of view. Wasn't there a case of, within Britain, we used to pride ourselves on not actually arming our police force? I mean, do you think, you know, it's all well and good saying, oh, we got a threat out there and so on, but, you know, is that the right way forward? I mean, wearing your police hat, would you say, yeah, we'd like to be armed to the teeth?
No, we shouldn't be armed to the teeth, but we've got to have... I mean, I was in the firearms team a long, long time ago, and it was very, very restricted, you know? I think there's too much publicity given to it. I think that cops, by and large, don't want to carry a gun. But unfortunately, it's just a way of life at the moment, you know. I don't think we're going to go back anyhow to the bobby on the beat, walking around talking to old ladies taking them across the road. And
well, it gives them exercise. Surely that's exactly what we should be looking for. You know, Dixon of Dock Green, you know. I mean, I think, Arthur, you should actually set to work when you've wrapped up your sort of current sort of sequences about the seagull. And I haven't asked at all about the exciting adventures of the seagull. It flies from... one stadium to the other, St James's to Roker Park. It gets very confused, understandably. But Arthur, I think you should actually do a reworked version of the classic Jack Warner Evening All.
Well, you know, that was a false image as well, because when he was standing telling us that Chummy had come to, and been locked up, and everything was fine, and Rosie in the garden, and Andy is doing well, is in the CID. And while he was saying that to us, not to worry, the Crate twins and whatnot were tearing faces off people down in London. Well, torturing them.
They were just being friendly in that London way.
But I think the image you see of the policeman now is very sad, if you want the honest truth. I've been away nearly 30 years now, and I tell you what, I don't think I would want to be doing the job carrying a firearm all day, you know.
We have covered motivation without even mentioning Steve Black, of course. You know, again, a great motivator. Arthur actually wrote the biography of Steve Black.
Very nice.
Very good.
Blessed to actually meet him as well, Steve Black, as well as Arthur, obviously. So we actually got together once more. We've gone from that to a whole range of things. We asked the Skegness question, which is critical.
So the Skegness question.
It's a thing now.
Got to keep focusing on the local, Sue, and I feel the Skegness question is something which keeps us bold and ambitious, at least from the Lincoln perspective. So, Emma, would you like to put those last two questions to Arthur McKenzie, please?
Yes, of course. Arthur, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
I have. I've had a good laugh.
That's the way forward. Because let's face it, the alternative is just disaster personified. We're all doomed, as Natalie Tuck said.
Well, in that case, would you like to join us again on the show anytime soon?
Yes, I would.
Excellent. And, I mean, I wasn't going to sort of run this too much today, because obviously we had a major Bowie fest yesterday with all the routines. But were you a David Bowie fan at all, Arthur?
No, not at all.
There you go, you see. So, just as well, we didn't go into the choice of music from that side of things, otherwise we could have gone into all sorts of other areas. Sue, coming up in a few moments, we will be speaking to Ian Lennox. By the way, Arthur, anything you'd like us to pass on to Ian about life, the universe, and various other bits and pieces?
No, not really. Just tell him to make sure he stays happy.
Yeah, you see, last time we did this sort of build-up to Ian, and we actually pointed out that you had referred to him as Mr. Grumpy, he was very annoyed. He said, who said that? You
know, he was very grumpy, surprisingly.
Exactly. So, you know, who knows? But, you know, Newcastle United did get a point, so that could be good for
him. He might feel better.
I'm sure he will. He will feel better.
A bit of positivity there.
And that's all you need, just a little bit. You can, like a little curve.
Let's be fair, they don't get a lot of that St. James's Park plate, do they?
Yeah, OK. Lincoln City mid-table of, obviously, the Vanarama Conference, which is... never mind. Life continues. Arthur, we salute you as ever. Ian Lennox coming up very soon. And, of course, Bronya, whose surname we don't actually...
Sheldon.
Oh, Bronya Sheldon.
Bronya Sheldon, who is my little work experience lady at Siren FM, and she's from Minster School.
Oh.
Aww. She's been wonderful all week, and we normally we get them on air on Monday, but she's doing it for you, quality.
Well, you've got Emma, you've got Claire, and of course you've got No BS from Bronya. See what we did there? Love Affair and a Rainbow Valley, colourful and impressive in its own way. So what do we think, ladies? I mean, after the Arthur Mackenzie build-up to the next correspondent who's about to join us for his regular moan at the world, what sort of mood do you think he's going to be in? I mean, they got a point against that other side from Manchester, which was, you know, celebratory times.
A point against Man United, I think he'd be quite happy.
Louis van Gaal, obviously palpitations. Six goals in the match. What's going on? It's just peculiar, you know. However, Sunderland won, so they're getting closer in that sort of sense of the world. But what sort of mood, Claire, do you think Ian Lennox is going to be in?
I think a good mood. It's 2016, beginning of a new year.
First thing. You near him last week, obviously.
Yeah.
I think he'll be okay.
Yeah. And Sue, I mean, clearly, because you know Newcastle, you know the kind of motivation that's actually up there.
Well, you know, I generally, if you get a point against, say, you get a point against Man United, that's
so it's going to be a happy Ian Lennox. Yeah. How are you, Ian?
It's snowing up here.
I know this already. My sister's having, she's having palpitations because it's snowing up there.
How much snow is it, Ian?
It's about... Well, I'm just looking out the window, so...
Get your tape measure.
It's just a thin layer at the moment, but it's coming down. Oh. It's not going to go up, is it? So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It depends on... If it stays cold all day, we'll probably get an inch or so. I much prefer the rain. We've had about 10 days of rain here.
Yeah, it's throwing it down right now outside.
At your place, is it?
Well,
it's just raining.
In Lincoln, highs of 3 degrees centigrade, lows of 0 degrees centigrade, cold with spells of rain, sleet and snow. But probably mostly
miserable,
rain.
In other words.
Yeah, I prefer the snow to rain, actually. I don't know about you.
Yes, definitely.
Partly because the skies are usually clearer.
Yeah. Except when it's a blizzard, of course.
And it's pretty.
It looks pretty, yeah.
Yeah. The trouble is, in England, it only lasts until breakfast and then the slush
is gone.
Yeah.
Whereas my sister in Canada has... about 8 feet of it, and that's all winter.
Mm. And permafrost as well, yeah.
Yeah, but the eyelids drop off out too long, I think.
It's that kind of magical appreciation that, you know, leads us so neatly to that other critical question. Ian Lennox, have you ever been to Skegness?
I've never been to Skegness,
no. See, it's clearly...
I've been to Moscow, and I prefer doing that.
There's a headline for you, you know, to focus on the whole thing. Ian Lennox prefers going to Moscow rather than going to Skegness. Brackets, he's never been.
Oh, it has its moments of brilliance in winter.
Blustery brilliance.
Exactly.
Nice cup, they make a smashing cup of tea on the seafront. Mm. And the fish and chip shops are open.
You're talking about Skegness now, I presume. Not
yeah,
Moscow.
It's not Moscow.
Yeah, if you can find a seafront in Moscow, you're lying.
Yeah, no.
It's all. It could make a seafront. I'm sure Vladimir Putin could get on the case. You know, yeah, that's the reason.
Yeah, rather like the one they make in Lincoln in the summer. They
exactly.
Fill the...
Why we raised Skegness anyway?
We felt it had been marginalised over the years, Ian, and I feel that not only is it Sue's hometown, exactly.
Oh, I see.
I feel
right.
It's important to celebrate the wonder of Skeggy.
It's
what
the audience wants.
Precisely.
It's a bit like everybody, if you live on the outskirts of Newcastle, you just say, I'm from Newcastle.
Would you ever admit to being from Gateshead?
Actually, I like Gateshead. Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Some nice things in Gateshead.
Have you been to Gateshead?
Have I been to Gateshead? Yes, I have. Yes.
Unlike some people who don't go to Skegness, Sue has indeed been to the Heed.
Mm.
Or Gateshead.
I think John Priestley described it as the Battle Inn to Newcastle.
Yes, but they have a very impressive bus station.
And that's all that matters.
I think that says all you can say about Gateshead. Actually, it is quite a progressive place.
It is.
And they've done a wonderful job on the athletics there.
Mm.
Exactly.
They're made... They've got a good shopping centre, which is one of the biggest in Europe, I think.
Yeah.
So,
Yes.
And it was set up by a chap who went on to actually look after Newcastle United when they almost won the Premier League, but in the end didn't. Sir John Hull, still, never mind. And probably won't. But still, they won the Fairs Cup in 1969. Pity about Watford, but still it maintains four consecutive third-round exits for Newcastle United, so you've got to admit, good consistency there, Ian.
Yes. How did Manchester City do last night?
They were denied a penalty, and it was an outrageous...
That means they didn't win. They didn't win, and they won a corner kick.
Exactly, and so situation, you know, nil-nil, we got a point, so thankfully, Leicester obviously did the business against that other side from North London, and Arsenal, of course, were held as well by Liverpool. So, you know, just carry on from that point of view.
It's really Leicester, isn't it?
It's
getting almost exciting. I almost believe they're going to win it.
just shows what Claudio Ranieri could actually do from that point of view.
He's called the Tinker Man, was it, Chelsea?
He was, exactly. And he lost his place to Mr. Mourinho. I bet he was gutted when Jose headed off. But let's move on, Ian, because clearly it's time for you to cast your creative ear over the first official MapleStar Music and Media Access Nashville choice from yesterday, because of course he wasn't with us last week, so we had a substitute by Janine Barry, which we played for us. This is Morgan Miles, who Emma and Claire has now been confirmed she's joining us 5:30 next Wednesday.
Oh, yay!
So good news on that. However, Ian,
is this Alex people? I've got to be nice about these people.
Honestly, we prefer honesty.
We're honest.
Honesty is the best policy. You know, it's got a title that you love, Whiskey Dreaming. Yes. So that's quite nice.
Whiskey Drinking?
No. Whiskey Dreaming.
Does this mean that we have to drink whiskey before we listen to it?
It's not a hillbilly song, is it?
It's not a what song?
Hillbilly song. We'll get you by the smoke.
Yes. Hillbilly song. What do you think we are? The Beverly Hillbillies? No, there was a series. No, it's by Morgan. In fact, Claire, you likened Morgan Miles to a young Taylor Swift.
I did, yeah. I feel like she's kind of quite 2006, 2007, 2008 Taylor Swift.
So last decade.
3 years of Taylor Swift right there.
Yeah. I'm just plucking dates.
The formative years.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Ian. Yes, Taylor Swift is a pop songstress. Just in case you're keeping up to date.
Is it he or she? She.
Okay, it's fine. Anyway.
Got the Jennifer and things like that on
name. Listen, with transgendered scenarios these days, you don't, honestly, it's a whole new world. Morgan Miles is also female. Unless, of course, she's transgendered, but I think she is female from the videos we've seen last night. Yeah, it's interesting. This is Morgan Miles, Whiskey Dreaming. The trouble was, he done treat her wrong. That's the trouble. He done treat her wrong, and so she left him to his bottle and whiskey dreaming.
I think you should write a country song, Alex.
You think so?
I think so.
That's a lot of soul there.
Yeah. Well, Ian Lennox, what did you make of Whiskey Dreaming?
Well, my question about the gender person. Of... these people, it's a subtle way of telling the listener that my opinion is not worth anything. Uh-huh. And also, in my defence, my two kittens start to play the Wall of Death in my kitchen.
Oh.
But I quite liked it. And what I liked about it was she didn't try to overstate the... ring the thing with emotion.
Wasn't hillbilly, was it, really?
There was a slightly understated sort of... treatment of the song, which I found very pleasant.
Splendid.
I found it interesting.
So, rewinding...
I liked it, anyway. What it's worth.
Morgan will be delighted when we share that with her next week. Probably just after or just before.
You don't tell these people my opinions.
Yeah, we do, actually.
The postman liked it.
No, it's the Ian Lennox, you know, weekly correspondent from Tyneside and bringer of grumpiness from the Newcastle area to the Midriff Drive.
What would I be? I was only 3 foot 4, not 6 foot 2.
Well, then, just rewinding back slightly, you said your two kittens were doing the Wall of Death In the kitchen?
Yes, they're running around the room at a great rate of knots, I'm saying.
Oh. Can we get a midweek drive kitten?
Yeah, please.
No.
No. No. I woke up this morning, but...
There's a country song right there. I woke up this morning.
Well, you get, hey, I'll tell you, when you get at my age, mate, it's a bonus.
Exactly.
Anyway, and they got under my bed and they were both lying in the crook of my arm.
Oh.
I tried to take a picture of it, but I failed.
Do they not have for selfies? You know, clearly you've got to actually get these kittens on Facebook, Ian. You know, it's
well, they are. I've got one with his head stuck in a cup.
Please, can we get that up on the screen? Because I really want to see this.
I'll try and send you a picture, Alex.
That's well...
For a Christmas present.
A belated one, obviously, from that point of view, but I'm going straight away to Ian Lennox on the Facebook page from that point of view. I see trade deals all gone wrong from that point of view. We've got...
I don't know.
It's going to be a long time. Will it be under your photographs, Ian?
No, I don't know.
Oh, God.
I'm not sure when...
Hang on. Yeah, we have actually got Ian, well, with cats...
Oh, sweetness!
This is Mr. T. Used to have an alpha male cat that climbed up Ian's back and curled around his neck, so that's settled. There we are. There's a shot there of Ian with cat.
I think I just melted.
You see, we have everything on this show, including fluffy kittens.
Sue, it's been my maintenance consistently that what Community Radio needs is more fluffy animals.
As no one ever told you, that photographs isn't exactly the best medium for radio.
Well, we can enjoy it.
We actually have two. We have Ollie and Obo.
Oh, you got them? Yes, I got them. Yes.
When did you get them, Ian?
I've had them for about 6 weeks, I think now.
Oh, bless.
They're about 14 weeks.
They're little diddy things with little white bibs and beautiful white whiskers that sort of really properly come out,
they
don't
they? They look like Jess the cat from Postman Pat.
Yes, they do. Jess the cat from Postman Pat.
And that's the sort of message that's coming across on the world today.
It's strange when we see kittens and stuff. Going to baby talk.
Yeah, I have the worst like cute animal voice ever, and it's
just
really
goes
bad.
Higher and higher.
Yeah, it's just awful.
It's
true. Every time I see my dog, I just dissolve, and then everyone's just like, "Claire, we don't want to talk to you anymore. Goodbye."
You're probably too young to have seen a sketch by a famous comedian called Tony Hancock, who played the part of a parrot. In a cage, and this old lady and the vicar were talking to him, and he was sort of scowling at them, so I better flap my wings, those silly old people.
It'll be on YouTube.
They're going on, goo, goo, goo.
Use YouTube, that's the important thing. How much exercise per week do you do, Ian? This is an important one.
How many what?
How much exercise per week do you do? The average for over 65s apparently is 3 hours, 4 minutes. We just sort of see how people actually who are chronologically.
What do you mean by exercise? I walk about a fair bit.
Well, you see, this is the whole thing. I mean, is it walking around the home? Is it a case of fitness scenarios? We'll find out when we speak to Derek Evans, also known as Mr. Motivator, after the news. Did you ever meet Mr. Motivator in your TV career at Tyne Tees? Did you ever get up there?
No, I didn't.
Did you ever get any people at Tyne Tees to wear tight, colourful spandex outfits? Because, you know, I would have thought that would have helped the continuity announcers.
Yes, when I first started at Tyne Tees, they had a lot of studio work, and I got into this lift, which is only a small lift, and some extremely large ladies in it. And they were called the Chubbies or something. They used to do an act.
Ah, the Chubbies.
Oh, not the Roly Polies.
The Roly Polies.
Oh, it might have been. Well, it was something like that anyway.
Not very healthy.
And there was poor little me trying to squash in the lift with these people. I ended up walking up the stairs, I think. So that was exercise, I suppose.
Yeah. The Roly Polies are very famous. They're very good dancers, even though they are you know,
large
flying the banner for larger ladies.
I'm not sure what the Roly Polies, but it was something of that ilk. It was about 30 years ago.
I don't think there could have been another Roly Poly from that.
Roly Poly.
And were they wearing tight, colourful spandex? Probably.
Probably.
Sue, last two questions for Ian Lennox then.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, Ian?
I have.
And will you be joining us again, providing the snow doesn't bury you?
I do hope so.
Good.
course, the interesting thing was when I dialed him up first of all, I was not sure whether there is a slight hiccup with respect to our receiver here. So, hello, hello, hello. I'm thinking he can't hear me at all, basically. It's really good. Thankfully, you know, he stayed with us and time worked out perfectly. In the second hour of the programme, Derek Evans and Susan Smart, that's Mr. Motivator and Centre Pulse, William Sitwell has said 9:35 prompt, and actress Natasha Gray plus. Has he dropped something again? He's just keeping Ian's microphone open there because he hasn't said goodbye, but he's probably sort of forgotten that. He's given up on the whole thing now. But a whole heap of other goodies, including we'll have a little look at one or two John Wenham suggestions as well. What's the other question we'd actually put to Ian, Sue?
You're coming back again, aren't you, Ian?
Yes.
He said so. He wasn't listening, Alex.
We've got the theme now. You know, we've got Zukov and Aisha for Alan Stevens. Now we've got Ian's two cats as well, whose names are
Oboe and Ollie.
Oboe and Ollie.
Yeah. Oboe is spelled phonetically.
Of course.
You got to learn how to cry before you learn how to fall.